Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
For you, Beverly Williams is our good friend, and she's the member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. She is also the, more importantly, the founder and the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and she joins us every week at around this time during the week to talk to us about home-based business issues. Beverly, welcome back.
Oh, good morning, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you with us. It always is, and I promised my audience that PJ Richards was going to be with us
right.
this hour, and we're still trying to get her. Having a little bit of technical difficulty getting her hooked up, so folks, we're going to keep working on that. In the meantime, Beverly, I've got something that I wanted to talk to you about that that I thought you might find interesting.
Okay.
A guy wrote me a while back. This might be something that the AAHBB might even want to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
A guy wrote me a while back, and he has a home-based business, and so a very low-impact business, but he has a couple of employees.
Mm-hmm.
And his what he says here, he says, I wrote you last week about my company, there's a use permit that he had submitted to the city council to allow him to have up to two employees on the premises. And apparently this city that where he is, I'm not going to say the name of it,
mm-hmm.
is won't allow him to have a home-based business with any employees.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that?
I have, and there are various reasons why that may be applicable. If you're in a densely populated area, like a townhouse residence or something of that nature, if the area that he's in is highly populated in residences, it's possible they don't allow it because of traffic and parking problems.
Well, this guy actually is out in one of the western states.
Okay.
I think it's Idaho or something like that, Utah, and... And he says I have a 2-acre lot, and the business would not impact the appearance, traffic flow, or atmosphere of the neighborhood.
Okay.
He has a 2-acre lot.
Then he has every right to expect to be able to have employees there, and I would be very curious to know why the law was written the way it was.
He says that his community has over 1,000 home-based businesses currently.
Mm-hmm.
So that surprised me, but apparently there is home occupation conditional use permit that he's applied to the city, and to ask for at least two employees. That's all he has.
Uh-huh.
And but it was voted down, and he asked me for his help, for my help. And so I wanted to bring that up while you were on the show here. That sounded like something that might want to look into.
Right.
But anyway, just are you familiar with anybody who's had a problem like that?
Well, yes, but not in that kind of situation where he's got that kind of acreage.
Mm-hmm.
We find it a lot in suburban areas of major metropolitan areas, and it's because of traffic or parking problems that they have that kind of law. But usually in the wide open spaces, it's not a problem. They can get a permit. So
mm-hmm.
I would be curious as to what the other circumstances may be, and there may be something we can do to help by... If there is someone on the city council or county council or whoever the governing body is that we may be able to talk to and give them some information, but we need to find out first of all why they turned him down.
Well, what I would like to do is forward this information to you, and if you would, maybe if you'd contact him and
sure.
think of something the AAHBB could do for him.
Absolutely.
Because I know that's part of your mission is to help people resolve things like this.
It is. Yeah, absolutely is. Now, people need to understand that once we have all the information, we will do whatever we can to help the best situation. Sometimes it may not always be in favor of the home-based business person if they're not looking at the impact around them.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I can't see where he doesn't have a legitimate reason for being concerned that they got turned down. I don't understand why, if he's got 2 acres, and obviously there's off-street parking,
mm-hmm.
why he couldn't have employees in his home-based business. So we would certainly look into that and see what we could do.
Well, I'll pass that along to you, and I'll contact him, let him know that we got something going on there.
Okay.
Beverly, Mike tells me that PJ is with us. PJ, are you there?
Good morning, PJ.
Good morning.
How are you? Good.
Mike, I don't hear PJ. I need her. Okay. Are you there, PJ?
Yes, I'm here.
I can barely hear you.
I'm hearing you're fine on this end.
Okay. Well, tell PJ hello while we're getting her potted up from the...
I will. I think she can hear you fine, Jim.
I can hear you a little bit, PJ. All right. That sounds better. How you doing? Okay. Just stand by there, PJ. You know, one of the things, Beverly, that you and I talked about before was when the lady that was on, who was in the construction company.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
Now, I could understand having a problem with having a lot of employees and trucks coming in and out. In fact, they had a problem, didn't they?
Right.
But they were actually operating out of a townhouse, weren't they?
They were. Yes, they were. In a village that had its own rules and regulations outside of the city that it was inside of. And so there were a lot of different jurisdiction problems there, but the village that they lived in has some very strict rules. You can't even, if you have your own business somewhere else and you have a vehicle that has a sign on it, you cannot park it within that village. So it's lots and lots of little rules.
They were taking their signs on and off of their vehicle as they came into their village, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, they were actually having to take magnetic signs.
Right.
Now, I think we have PJ up now. PJ, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, PJ. Thanks for joining us. Sorry about the technical difficulty. And PJ, I wanted you just to join us here on the discussion of how you integrate your business into your community. This is something that you've had a little bit to do within your business, haven't you? You've had to comply with certain rules and making sure that you weren't able to put up a sign, were you?
Right.
I think is reasonable, don't you, Beverly? I mean, I think it's reasonable to not be able to put up a hangout, a shingle in your home-based business if you live in a neighborhood.
Well, I think that most people would object to that, including the people who have a home-based business. Generally, they don't want big signs in their yards either.
Yeah, but PJ has something that she's told me about that's kind of interesting with regard to signing, and I want to talk about that when we come back. Folks, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams and PJ Richards are our special guests. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And we're talking about home-based business issues this hour with our good friend Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB, and she has brought along with her a new friend, PJ Richards, a new friend and a new member of her organization. PJ Richards, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's good to have you. And we were talking a minute ago, PJ, about how the businesses, about signage, I guess I should say, was the last thing we were talking about,
right,
with your small business. And you own a private mailbox company, don't you?
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's I call it the same as all the others. I offer the same services, mailbox, et cetera, pack and mail. I just do it out of my home for certain reasons that I consider it privacy issues, because there's a certain, I found out through research that there's a certain form that the post office requires potential customers to use, which wants their name, address, phone number, and all name, addresses, and phone numbers of everybody who uses the mailbox, and it has to come in care of the mail agent.
Now, that's PS 1583, right?
Yes.
You identified that as PS 1583?
Yes, PS Form 1583.
So when I went down to the post office years ago to open up a P.O. box, I had to fill out that form?
No, it's not required for a P.O. box.
Oh, it's not?
No, because the P.O. box is almost like a residential address. They don't require it there, only through an agent.
Oh.
Commercial mail receiving agency.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a third party.
So, in other words, there's a form that's specifically for people like mailboxes, et cetera?
Right.
So if I do business with them, I have to fill out the form?
Right, with two forms of ID. And you have to have your signature notarized.
Mm-hmm.
And the mail comes in your name and the agent's name, which to me defeats the purpose of privacy. And there's a lot of people, for several reasons, why they don't want everybody to know that they don't live there or not doing business there. They want to have an air of professionalism, and society doesn't like to do business with home-based businesses, so they get a different address for billing purposes or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, to give people more confidence in them, I guess.
Well, Beverly, I'm sure you've seen that with people who who, as you say, PJ, they, people have a home-based business, but they would like to have another address.
Right, because it's hard to get people to do business with them when they know they're in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and people have used various ways of doing that, including post office box, of course, and then when mailboxes, et cetera, and other agencies came into being, using a suite number instead of a box number gave an even more professional
office
perception.
Setting. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they
just recently changed that. You can no longer use suite. You have to use the letters PMB in your addressing, letting everyone know that it's a private mailbox. And there's a lot of customers, I get a lot of inquiries asking me, do I have to use this form? And I am what they call, I have an advantage, because when you have a residence, you don't have to use this form because it's a non-commercial zone.
So you actually have an advantage over some
right.
of your larger private mailbox
the commercial ones,
because you don't have to use the PMB.
Right. You know, it's interesting. If I received a memo recently from the Small Business Administration Office of Advocacy inviting me to a roundtable discussion about this tomorrow down in Washington, D.C., and I was really incensed when I read the memo about the reasons that the U.S. Post Office feels that people should be required to use PMB when they have something other than a certified post office box. The two sentences that really incensed me said that the use of mailbox addresses can mislead the public as to the true size, permanence, et cetera,
yeah.
of a business. The rationale is that they want to draw a distinction for the benefit of the public between private mailboxes and others owned by larger operations. And I really object to that.
So do I.
Very definitely. It feels like it's a control issue,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like it's very unfair.
It's definitely a control issue.
Well, one of the
issue.
Things, it's clear if you observe the post office organization, the U.S. Post Office, it's clear that they are feeling the pressure from competitive organizations, commercial organizations, and they're trying to flex their government muscles, aren't they?
Well, they are, and there may be good reason to have some regulations, just as with zoning ordinances for home occupations, but they should be reasonable and not in the best interest of the U.S. Post Office, but in the best interest of the general public.
Right. Stand by, Beverly. Also, PJ, we've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after. I'm Jim Blessing, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. After, I'm Jim Blessing, the Small Business Advocate. Beverly Williams is our guest this hour. The president and founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and one of my heroes, PJ Richards, is with us. She is a home-based business person, and folks, she is a hero, in my opinion, in the true sense of the word, because I know what she's been doing. She started her own home-based business about a year and a half ago. It is a private mailbox company. She operates it out of her home, and she's doing it on her own. And PJ, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
PJ, one of the things that's interesting to me is how you get set up to receive all this. Beverly, you and I were talking about this a minute ago. I'd like to hear PJ tell us about how you get set up for something like this.
Well, first of all, you order your mailboxes, and I get those to different people. You can search around, and there's lots of manufacturers that sell them.
Now these are like a lockbox, like a lockbox at a post office
right.
box, right?
I just have a few of those, and
just a stack of them, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a what they call a case for casing the mail. I got that from when I worked there. Is where they just have slots where you put the addresses for people who just want slots and never check their mail. I just forward it to them wherever they go.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just in a slot in my section that I use.
It comes into you, and then what do you do with it?
I put it in their slot.
And then what?
Or their mailbox.
Okay.
And then people can either come and pick it up, or if you have a forwarding order for them. I haven't had anybody really want to come by.
Okay.
So they all call in on my, they call me, and they tell me where to send it and when each time they move. Or some people keep a permanent forwarding address until they move, and I just send it there until they tell me different.
Hmm.
And it doesn't matter where they go or
mm-hmm.
they can rent for 3, 6, 9, 12 months at a time. They pay the postage. That's an extra deposit. And another thing I found is a lot of the other places charge for the mailbox itself. And then also charge a fee for forwarding it. Mine's just all one rate.
Mm-hmm.
PJ, it's interesting that you sound very knowledgeable about the mail system, and the reason is that you used to work for the post office.
Right.
Tell us about why you saw this as a need when you were working at the post office, and you know what they do there. Why was it a need to have a private mail center such as you set up?
Well, I didn't really realize it when I worked for them. I did this, it came afterwards, when I started getting concerned about my privacy rights. And then through my research, I started realizing, actually I came across an Oprah Winfrey show on identity theft.
Hmm.
And so I started researching identity theft. And that's when I came across how people had put in fictitious forwarding addresses for people they were stalking. And they were getting their mail and their social security number and their bank account number and they credit cards and everything. And that's how they stole their identity.
But how, and you think you can prevent that?
Yeah, because you can't put in a forwarding address change with a mail agent. Those aren't allowed.
Huh.
You have to tell the agent themselves if you want it, you know, if you have a change of address or a new forwarding address or whatever. We're not allowed to use those.
So what you're saying is at the post office, someone could walk up and just without, can they forward my mail?
Yes.
without my permission?
Right.
Well,
they were in those forwarding cards, and the post office has kind of cracked down on that, though. They do send out an acknowledgement letter saying, did you do this or did someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a new development. But we're the mail receiving agents, they're not required, they're not allowed to use those forms. They're not recognized by the post office if you receive your mail at an agency. So that kind of eliminates having your mail stolen.
Now, you know, I don't think I've ever seen, or I don't think I know of another home-based business private mail center like yours. Do you know of another one? Are you familiar with anyone else who's doing what you're doing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not either. I think I'm the only one that's doing it in a residential area.
What are the challenges for you in doing?
Well, location is one. It's not real convenient. People really like convenient locations, but
obviously, you've got your reasons for wanting to operate out of your home, as there are many the reasons why people want to operate out of their home. So that's one of the challenges. How do you get around that?
I just advertise and. I make brochures and I make I mail out brochures and I send out. I take advertising on the internet and I have a website. That's one of the first things I did was get my website up.
Is it up now?
Oh yes.
Okay, you want to give it to us?
Sure. It's a you know the HTTP :// that's welcome.to/mailboxrentalsplus all one word.
All right.
That's how you get there.
Okay.
And what will people see when they get to your website? Is it a description of what you do and how they can...
of what I do, links to other sites and information concerning your credit rights, the credit amendments, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, privacy issues, why I don't need to use the form if they want to go there and find out why, the PS Form 1583.
Right.
And like contract, you can download the one contract I do require, which basically states you won't use it for illegal purposes.
Right. PJ, stand by. We're going to take a break. Beth, too. 39 after, folks. When we come back, we're going to get PJ to tell us how she works with the post office, what they had to say to her when she told them what she was doing. Stand by. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I want to tell you about one more website that I think I definitely want you to check out. It's www.aahbb.org. And that's the website of my good friend and our special guest this hour, Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and my co-host this hour as well. And she's helping me to interview P.J. Richardson, who has maybe the only home-based mailbox service. Beverly, I know you've got some questions for P.J.
Right. Well, interesting, because when I received PJ's membership application and saw what she did, I questioned whether or not it really was a home business.
Yes, you did.
And I called her because I had never heard of them before. And over the last few weeks or so, I've had more conversations with her because of these other issues that have come up. And so I think it's fascinating, and I'm learning a great deal today too. PJ, tell us about who, first of all, did you have any problems or did you get lots of support from the post office when you decided to do this? And then tell us about what kind of people would use your services.
Yeah, the first thing I did was talk to my post office because I didn't want to spend a lot of money if they're not going to cooperate.
Right.
That was your first step, wasn't it?
Right? Huh?
Mm-hmm. That was first step.
Yeah, that's the first step. I wrote a letter to my carrier telling her what I wanted to do, and she talked to the postmaster, and she left me a reply telling me that it was fine with them.
So there were no regulations that said you couldn't do this.
Right.
You and, really...
They've been great.
So you've gotten lots of support from them?
Uh-huh.
In what respect? Is it more moral support, or do you get supplies from them? Or?
Yeah, so they provide me with all the supplies I need for free, uh-huh. And they have no problem delivering everybody's mail to my address.
Uh-huh.
Packages, I get support from FedEx and UPS also. Anybody can receive any carrier delivery here. And... let's see, what was that?
Now, one thing I thought was interesting, Bev, is she can't hang a sign outside of her house that
right.
she has her business, but she can hang the other courier signs outside.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. That's one way to let people know where I'm at.
I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're looking, for the business on the street. You know, they got to have something to tell them which one it is besides the address.
But I bet there are some communities where you couldn't even do that.
Probably.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Did you want to put a... Tell us about the sign that you had out.
Well, it was on my overhang for the front door to my mm-hmm. office here.
Okay.
And it was just in small red letters on the one before
mm-hmm.
underneath the overhang.
Right.
Said Mailbox Rentals Plus. And it was there for a while until... somebody came by and saw it, and then they reported it, and the mayor called me and said, you can't do that unless you want to get rezoned and pay this fee. And I said, no, that's okay. I'll take it down.
Right.
You know, no problem.
It's really interesting. We talked a while ago about the fact that this is probably the way post offices originally started, were in people's homes with a little sign, and then
yep.
they dispersed the mail from there, or, you know, the
other local mercantile.
Right.
Who also handled all the phone calls.
So we really did go, are sort of going back to our roots again.
Well, it was part of a store, a general store. My early
right.
memories when I lived in the country, you know, all those many years ago, was the post office was basically part of the grocery store,
right.
the local general store.
And you had to go pick it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I
was just going to say, yours is a little different insofar as you basically forward the mail to people.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about who might use that type of service.
Well, there's travelers, people who drive trucks and are away from home a lot.
Interesting. Long-distance truck drivers.
Yes, and senior citizens who are retired and are on vacation. They're just seeing the sights, seeing the world. And people who have a problem staying in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or small businesses, other home-based businesses that need a billing address. They try to keep their personal mail separate from their business mail. And, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could think, I'm sitting here during this hour, PJ, and the more I think about this, the more I can think of a lot of legitimate reasons why somebody might want something like that.
Well,
I might want to know about that. And the advantage, I want to remind people that the advantage to what you're doing, at least for the time being, is that you don't have to fill out the form. Because you are a residential location, you don't have to fill out the same form as your bigger private mailbox competitors do.
So far.
And that's form PS-1583, which is where you have to give a lot of personal information.
Right.
And when they do business with you, they don't have to do that.
Right.
And that was really kind of the thing that got you started. You got to thinking about privacy issues, and that's when you identified the PS-1583.
Right. I was started out concerned about my own privacy, and then I
uh-huh.
took it, so, well, there's got to be other people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept digging into it.
Now you've got a completely different room. I mean, it's like, what is it, your garage that you've got secured for this?
Converted my garage.
So that there's no commingling of the business with your personal.
Right.
Yeah.
separate from my house.
Give us your website again, PJ.
It's welcome.to. It's actually just HTTP, no www.
Right.
Welcome.to /mailbox rentals plus.
Welcome.to.
To.
Right.
/mailbox rentals plus.
All right. Stand by, folks. We've got to take a break. 50 after the hour. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. I want to remind you that coming up in the next hour, our good friend Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters will be with us, and we'll be talking about the most recent Kiplinger Letter. And then tomorrow, we'll be joined by John Bertu with the National Taxpayers Union. And we'll be talking about some of their summit, their National Taxpayers Union summit that's going on in Washington, D.C. this weekend. And then after that, Barry Gibbons, the former chairman and CEO of Burger King, is going to be here to talk to us about his new book, If You Want to Make God Really Laugh, Show Him Your Business Plan. I'm looking forward to that.
I've got to get that book. I haven't even heard it.
That's a catchy title, isn't it?
Funny.
I thought that was pretty good. I'm looking forward to having him back on with us. Okay. P.J. Richardson owns a private mailbox service in her home. Maybe the only one in existence. If anybody else knows of one in existence, a home-based business, private mailbox company, I'd like to know who they are. I'd like to know if there's another one in existence. PJ, how did you capitalize this company? Did you take out a loan? Did you pay for it out of your own pocket? Or what did you do?
I paid for it out of my own pocket. I work nights to keep afloat, and tax returns and any other lump sums I can get my hands on. Instead of borrowing money, because you never know if you're going to succeed or fail, and I didn't want to have to be in debt if it didn't work out.
Folks,
so
let me tell you what.
I financed myself.
You just heard one of my definitions of what a hero is.
That's right.
And not that she didn't borrow money. Sometimes you have to borrow money. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she's willing to work nights. I know she has children at home to take care of. She works nights. She does the tax returns, and also that she could follow her dream of having her own home-based business, her own small business. And BJ, I just want to congratulate you for that. I really admire you for that.
Thank you. Well, and it's an inspiration to others. First of all, it is hard work, and you mentioned, Jim, that she works a night job. That means she works all night long, mm-hmm. while everybody else is sleeping.
Right.
And then she comes home and she does the things that she normally would have to do around the household with a family.
Right.
When do you sleep, PJ?
From 7:30 to 10.
Uh-huh.
A.M.
Well,
and maybe an hour or two before I leave, and I have to be there at 11.
PJ, I want to ask you a quick question. From a confidentiality standpoint, from a professional standpoint, when people talk to you, don't they say, you know, how do I know you're going to actually handle my mail properly?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them when they say that?
Well, I haven't had that question, but not in those words. But.
Yeah, but somebody's got to be thinking that. Not that they don't even know who you are.
Right. The one question I did have was, is your phone tapped, or are you a government agent? Like, no.
Right.
And they're concerned about whether I'm working for the government, because they just can't believe that I can do this.
It is unusual. Very unusual. Are you concerned in any way that people are trying to use your service as a way of getting around legality?
No, not so far. I haven't had that problem.
Well, in your contract,
just
actually,
regular people who just want to separate,
mm-hmm.
don't want people to know where they live, or they want to. I have a customer just uses it for a billing address for her business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in California. She said the further away the billing address, the better. I didn't ask her why.
And Jim, you were beginning to say something about contracts, and I think that's an important key for a lot of home-based businesses. That
yes, you must
need
have
to
a
be,
contract.
Right.
Make sure they have a good contract.
Actually,
right.
Absolutely.
Ladies, I got to wrap it up for this hour. Beverly, thank you for joining us, and thank you for bringing PJ to us. PJ, I'm glad to know.
Enjoyed it.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Let us know what's going on, and I'd like to follow up on this later on.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bev. I'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Okay, bye-bye. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners just like PJ Richardson. I'm so proud of her, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.